And I remember once he said, just give you a feel of Larry Grayson. I remember once he said, you know, last week he said, oh, he says, I was all stiff down this right-hand side. He said, oh, it were terrible. He said, this week, he said, I'm all stiff down this left-hand side. He said, oh, it is terrible, he said. He said, I can't wait till next week, though, can I? Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. He said, do you reckon I've gone off the Christian Morality Crusade newsletter list? I think I have, yeah. Thank God for that. I thought about some T-shirts done, you know. God save us from religion, you know, that'd be good, then. Anyway, what the story told at this memorial service by another comedian, he told it in the words of Larry Grayson. And what Larry Grayson said was, years ago, he was travelling the halls of Britain with this all-male show, you see. And there's only one woman in it, and that's Larry dressed up. And he said they had a patriotic producer, and they had the big finish to this show, Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves and all that stuff. Why does anybody have to rule the waves? Is it me or what? Anyway, we had John Wayne before the United States, you know, in the British mentality. We think we just passed it on, you know. We were John Wayne-ing the world before the United States existed, I guess, you know, in Britain. We've been manipulating for longer than anyone, probably. Any present company accepted, like. And he said, what happened was, in this big finish, all the men came on dressed as sailors, and they started singing Rule Britannia. And then, as the music built up, they all got on each other's shoulders on the stage, and they formed this pyramid, right, with a flat bit at the top. And as the music went on came Larry Grayson dressed as Britannia, long gown, helmet, shield, sword, and got manhandled at the side of this pyramid to the top. And in Larry Grayson's words, one night, he said, things seemed to be going rather well, he said. He said, then I noticed that the sailor in the bottom left-hand corner of the pyramid had got rather a cough, he said. And he came out with this great line. He said, and as any ancient Egyptian will tell you, that is a rather important point on the pyramid. So what's happened is this old poor sailor boy's coughed his guts up, like, and he can't stay there anymore, and he's fallen out the pyramid. And so now the stage is awash with sailors, and Larry Grayson's in the second row. Somebody's lap, like, you know. Well, oh dear, like your dress. Isn't that nice, yeah? And the question is, what has happened here? Larry Grayson, symbolic of this global elite, has done nothing. He's just standing there with his sword, sitting there with his sword in the air. What we call an ordinary man and woman in the street, I've got no power, has got a flaming cough. And it's all over. Because we have been conditioned to think that a pyramid has its power at the top. The top of the pyramid is only there because the rest of us are holding the bugger up there. That's the reality. But we've been so conditioned about power being up rather than within that we have thought into existence this pyramid of control. We have created our imagination of ourselves collectively. That we're just ordinary men and women in the street. And a few control the world. So we have thought into existence that reality, because that's what we've been conditioned to see, how we conditioned to see the world. So what happens with this pyramid is that everyone's standing on everyone else's shoulders as the layers go up, and each higher level is trying to control, overpower, and frighten the crap out of every lower level. So you get, but don't you dare, I'm depending on you. If you go your own way, oh my God, there'll be poverty, there'll be terrible, all be terrible. What about the kids and all, oh, you'll lose your job, oh, you mustn't do that. Jobs are scarce, oh my God. And this goes right up the pyramid. The person who's doing that to the level below them will be having something similar done to the level, by the level above them. And so we go on to the top of the pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid are a tiny, tiny few people who are running around passing messages down, which each level passes on. For instance, the means through which, or a major means through which, the top of the pyramid manipulates the consciousness of the mass is through very advanced esoteric knowledge, which has been passed on over thousands of years and added to how it's worked and whether it's worked, has added, been added by experience in each generation. So at the peak of the pyramid, there's now a mass of esoteric knowledge, which is of how the mind works, of vibrations, of the power and effect of electromagnetic fields and what have you, which is used on us for conditioning, controlling reasons. I mean, they could mind control people thousands of years ago. This is actually nothing new. And one of the reasons that this knowledge has been kept out of the public arena, in fact the main reason, is to keep from the mass of the people the knowledge that is being used against them. Because when I... Thank you ever so much. There's gin in that, is there? No. When I hear people talk about this esoteric knowledge, I hear them talking about the occult, it's the devil. And then I hear, particularly in the New Age area, this knowledge is taken to be spiritual by definition. It's of the light. Knowledge is never positive and it's never negative. It just is. It's how you use it that's positive or negative. And the very knowledge of the power of the mind and how the power of the mind sends out vibes, thought patterns that affect the energy field and affect the world, well, they can be sent out to positively empower the world, or they can be sent out to negatively control the world. Same knowledge, different approach, different use of it. And so what's happened over the years, not least through the Inquisitions and stuff like that, the burning of witches and whatever, it's been to keep out of the public arena this esoteric knowledge. Because there's one thing, I say one thing, there's a stream of things, but let's take one thing that what we call religion and what we call science, another religion, have in common. And that has been that they have only survived by the suppression of knowledge. And they have actually been suppressing the same knowledge. Because it's the knowledge that has been used to imprison us, but it's the same knowledge that we can use to set us free. The knowledge that we're not ordinary men and women in the street. There's no such thing. I've never met an ordinary man or woman in my life, or a blade of grass come to that. But if we're conditioned to think we are, we play that role in the three-dimensional holographic movie, and we become a herd of sheep who believe that they have no power. So down through this pyramid, messages have been passed over the centuries into the present day to keep this knowledge out of the public arena. One has been, like I say, it's the devil. And they, oh, yeah, all these people, oh, yeah, they talk, oh, no, oh, they're very strange people. Black magic, you know, oh, no, keep away from them. Oh, terrible. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, terrible. Pass it on. Okay, right. And then there's the other way of doing that. People won't buy that. The other aspect of that is they're off their rocker. And, oh, yeah, they're mad, you know, very strange people. Oh, we never know what to do with them, you know, sit around candles and stuff. And they, other dimensions, they talk about other dimensions. Oh, my God, very strange, they're mad, you know. And so this stuff keeps out, and the psyche locks in like a rabbit caught in the headlights lights of an oncoming car into the constant mantra messages that are telling us either this world is all there is, and then you die, or there's some God sitting on a throne who's going to judge us on lives lasting anything from a few seconds to over 100 years. Yeah, okay, sure there is, yeah. And the other thing that comes down through the pyramid constantly, which is a wonderful means of control, because there's nothing more imprisoned than someone who thinks they're free but isn't. There's nothing more closed than a closed mind that thinks it's open. And so passed down the pyramid comes this line, you are free, you are free. Pass it on, this is a democracy. You have the ability to choose between two front men of the same one-party state every 4 years. This is freedom. Pass it on, you are free. And so it's passed down, yeah? And, you know, each level plays the national anthem, sticks the bloody hand there. Why do they do that? Heartburn, is it, or what? I don't know. Oh, yeah, oh, well, we're free, honey, you know, oh, yeah, all that stuff. We're free, honey, yeah, well, we're free. Oh, it's great to be in the land of the free, isn't it? Oh, yeah, free. Got the IRS coming round in this tomorrow morning. Yeah, going to take everything away, you know. Great to be free, like. what are they actually saying, these people? That's the other great freedom as well. You are free to borrow money that doesn't exist and pay us interest on it. Pass it on. Love it. The freedom they're talking about is the freedom to be in jail and not realize it. The freedom that says, you are free to watch Wheel of Fortune. You can watch that whenever you like, you know. You're free to watch American Gladiators. You're free to press the zapper button and watch any channel you like, stream of them, 99% of which insult your intelligence. You're free to watch any news bulletin whenever you like and be given the official version of events. This is a wonderful freedom we've got here. And so many people buy the fact that it's freedom. And that's why we're in jail. And for me, we are the front of the snowplow generations today. We are taking from our parents and grandparents, not because they're bad people, but everyone passes on their programming, thought patterns that invariably say, don't make waves, don't cause trouble, and as the Japanese say, don't be the nail that stands out above the rest because it's the first one to get hit. And we're passing on to our children, no, not just to our children, to ourselves, because this is a really here and now thing now. Thought patterns that say, you be you, whatever you is, allow everyone else to be them, and let no one impose their view, beliefs, or desires on anyone else. And we're the people between those two today, because I feel we are in a period of enormous change, multidimensional change, where we're going from one period of human evolution, which has been desperately slow evolution. It may seem quick, but what is evolution? Evolution is a very simple process. Experience, learn, evolve. What the Hassle Free Zones have done, among so many other things, is they're constantly telling us what we can and can't experience, and giving us a very, very narrow range of acceptable experience. Therefore, we have less experience in terms of variety. Less learning results from it. Our evolution is slower than it needs to be. And I feel we're now moving into a period of immense leap in evolution. By that I mean consciousness. I feel, when I look at people, I see them symbolically standing inside a big, dark eggshell. Outside of the eggshell is our multidimensional consciousness going on into infinity. Inside the eggshell is that tiny, tiny area of our consciousness we actually operate on in the three-dimensional world. Oh my God. That eggshell that keeps one apart from the other is overwhelmingly made up of low vibrational emotion. Fear, guilt, resentment, lack of self-esteem. I can't. I could never. Fear of expressing uniqueness in a world of uniformity also creates a situation in which we subconsciously throw up a vibrational barrier, keeping out those higher levels which would lead us to evacuate the hassle-free zone very, very quickly. What I hear people say so often, we need to seek enlightenment. I don't think we need to seek enlightenment at all. I don't think it's ever gone anywhere. Enlightenment is sharing the same space as ignorance. It's just on a different vibration, that's all. What I feel we need to do, just my view, is remove the barriers we throw up between enlightenment and ignorance. And they are these low vibrational emotions which we're always pressuring each other to have. Oh, that's true. I mean, you look at the way we talk to our children. We're using fear and guilt to control our children from the first moment they become conscious, virtually. And when you get in the adult world, the manipulation of fear and guilt to control people, it ought to be an Olympic sport. And so we're all helping to add to each other's eggshell. And what I feel is happening at this time to more and more people is they're not finding enlightenment in terms of searching for it so much. The eggshell's cracking. And as the eggshells crack, these low vibrational fields we throw up, fear and all this other stuff, multidimensional self is now starting to lock into three-dimensional self, and soul, mission control, is getting back into communication with three-dimensional mind. And at that point, our whole perspective of life goes wallop, because we're no longer seeing the world like that, we're seeing it like that. And that's the difference between being controlled and manipulated and seeing the big picture of what's really going on. And that's actually there's very much symbolism surrounding that. Because what are we constantly pressured to do through our lives? Through the manipulation of the money system, so everything, even the basic needs, costs far more than it needs to cost. because of the interest on money that doesn't exist and many other means. We are being pressured to literally keep our heads down in our little world, paying the mortgage, paying for the food, keeping the family together, so we don't actually do that. And if they can get us like that, oh, and out of that, we become a manipulator's party trick. We can be manipulated with one hand while they have a cup of tea with the other, you know. And I had a wonderful example recently of the difference, one of the differences between seeing the world in that very narrow tunnel vision fashion and seeing the big picture. There's so many of them all over the place. Once you get into the big picture, the manipulation's in serious trouble. I came across this alternative dentist in Britain just before I came away. And he's challenging the dental establishment, and he's the antichrist of the British dental establishment, you know. They can't stand this bloke. So I go along and I see him, and he said, you got mercury in your teeth? I said, yeah, I had them in the school dental unit, put them in the 50s. He said, I just want to show you something, he said. So he gets this battery charger thing, I guess you'd say it was, something like that, with a dial on anyway.
Testing.
Something like that. Yeah, that'd be a good way of putting it. Tester. Yeah. Nikolai Tester, he was, yeah. And I almost said something I'm harping on now, you know, but never mind. I can get worse. I've heard a lot about harp since I arrived. Crikey, it's a lager in Britain. It's a bit more serious over here, isn't it, harp? Anyway, he said, right, just hold the machine. So I hold it in my hands and I'm looking at this dial. Just watch the dial, he said. And he puts the probe on my mercury fillings. The thing goes off the dial. He said, what happens is they put the mercury in, which is a very, very serious poison, as we know. And it's got other metals in there. And he said, what it does, it doesn't only poison the body, particularly every time you have a hot drink, the mercury seeps. It throws up an electromagnetic field, which is at variance with the frequency your brain's working on. So actually, you've got an electromagnetic field that's fighting your brain's thought fields in your mouth. I thought, well, this is good news. Thanks ever so much. I've come all this way. I'll be able to see you, and you've cheered me up. So anyway, I decided to have my mercury fillings out, you see, which I've had since I was a kid, because, you know, we have a school's dental service in Britain, what we did then anyway. You know, they were butchers as in their spare time, and when they were at work at the dental unit, no one could tell the difference. That's what it was like, you know. Anyway, the difference between the small picture and the big picture, just in this little area of mercury fillings, there's this big debate going on in the dental profession, right? And what they want to do, they want to pull people into irrelevant debate about detail down there. So they're having this little debate, tunnel vision. Yes, but Professor so-and-so did a paper in 1936 and he said that mercury only had this effect and it wasn't dangerous. And then so-and-so, KPR, SPOZS, all these letters after their names, you know. Crikey, what a mouthful. Anyway, in 1945 he did a paper and said this, and then modern findings have said this. And oh yes, really? And we're into this debate. And when you get into the big picture, there is no debate. Because this guy, this dentist, is taking the mercury fillings out of my teeth, which I've had in there for 20, 30 years. He's got a gas mask on, this guy. He's wearing a gas mask to take the fillings out. I've got this thing on my head to stop the mercury getting in me hair. I'm up to here with a gown on. So's the nurse. He showed me he's got a list of government procedures which he has to follow by the letter to dispose of the mercury once he's taken out of somebody's mouth. It's been in my gob for 30 years, this stuff. So when you get into multidimensional mode, you start to see the big picture, which is never mind Professor so-and-so and Professor so-and-so and Professor so-and-so. Got a great place where you might file your report, because the big picture says putting a serious poison in someone's mouth is completely Looney Tune. That's it. And when you see the system from that big picture, you don't get pulled into this irrelevant debate. I've got a book coming out in October in America called I Am Me, I Am Free. It's about how we're controlled without realizing it and how we get out of it. And one of the chapters is entitled Piece of Shit, Walk Away. And it comes from a line by Bill Hicks in this video I saw. Which he was talking about a film called Basic Instinct. And he said, Bill's catch-all review, piece of shit. Then he goes on to talk about how the propaganda and the hype of the film was hyped and hyped and hyped to the point where people got pulled into this big debate about this film. And therefore, loads of people went to see it and all that stuff. And he was saying, no, excuse me, you're getting confused here. Just stop a minute. Take a deep breath. Have another look. What do you see? Ah, it's a piece of shit. Exactly. Walk away. One of the great ways that we are manipulated is that we are dragged into irrelevant, diversionary debate when the big picture says something quite obvious. And we do this on an individual scale, we do it on a larger scale. And so when people are... Because one of the things they do, these manipulators, they'll put... I remember, they did it with sugar. Someone comes in from one side of the argument, same people, and says, sugar's bad for you. And then someone comes on the other side and says, well, there's just been a report out that says it's good for you. I remember my mother, she says, oh, I can't be doing with anything with this idea. They don't know what they're doing themselves. I'm just going to carry on. And you switch off, you know. And you switch off. Oh, you have mothers like that in America, do you? Yeah. We switch off, and therefore we've just become sheep who don't make decisions for ourselves. We just follow the herd. And, you know, there are so many diversions of this kind, and if we don't see the big picture, we get pulled in, and then we become party tricks. And one of them, the great diversion that I find in the economic field, because there's so many diversions there, but the big one is that the economic system is complicated, you know, and we are constantly pressured to think that. And when we think it's complicated, we switch off. So we divert it from the ball. We go off and watch something else, you know. So we get these economists that are wheeled in front of computer screens day after day after day, talking a language that we don't understand. And I would humbly suggest most of them don't either. Jargon's great repeating. And when you say someone who uses jargon a lot, just I know I'm a bit of an idiot, but just explain to me what you mean. That very rarely can. Just repeating someone else's jargon, you know. But anyway, it seems ever so complicated. And so people say, oh, can't be bothered. Is Wheel of Fortune on? What's on the other side? I'm fed up. And yet the world financial system is dead easy. As I said earlier, it's you lend people money that doesn't exist and charge them interest on it. And I think, you know, people think economics is like almost a naval contemplating, oh, it's very boring that. But it's actually fundamental to our freedom, this. Because when you look at this interest on money that doesn't exist, it's actually inflated the price of everything. Everything we buy is dearer than it needs to be because everybody's borrowing money that doesn't exist and paying interest on it. When you buy any product off the shelf in any shop, everybody's in the production and transportation and selling of that product has added a bit more to their cost, to the price they charge, because they've got to service interest on money that doesn't exist. This is why we buy three houses to live in one. We're free, honey. As long as you buy three houses to live in one, you can do as you like. I went into a bank, one of the clearing banks. I keep saying banks. It's just a bank, really, isn't it? Because at the peak of the pyramid, they're all the same. It's the Chase Manhattan Chemical Bank, National Westminster Lloyds, you keep going on. Incorporated. And... funny how people say to you, isn't it funny, Switzerland never goes to war, no one ever attacks them. Yeah, because the people creating the war have got their money base there. You know, it's no surprise why Switzerland never goes to war, because that's where the money's coming from to make the war happen. It'd be a bit silly if you attacked yourself, wouldn't it? Really? I went into the National Westminster Bank at the north in England, and I got this mortgage leaflet. It was there in black and white, you know. It said, if I take out a £50,000 mortgage to buy a house from the National Westminster Bank, I pay them back £152,000. I buy three houses to live in one, and my mortgage payments reflect that. And again, if you ask most people why they're not celebrating uniqueness and doing and saying what they believe to be right, if it's not the fear of what other people think of them, it's the fear of not having enough money to pay for the basics of life. So the more you can artificially inflate the basics of life, the more you're pressuring people to serve your system, keep their heads down and their mouths shut. And on the front of this leaflet, it was wonderful, really. This leaflet that had told me I had to buy 3 houses to live in one, it said, "The National Westminster Bank, we're here to make life easier," it said. I thought, thanks ever so much. And the thing is that what has staggered me is, it seems to me, or maybe I've just been unlucky, but most people in the banking system don't know how it works. Have you noticed that? I had a guy in a workshop with me back in England about 6 months ago, and he'd spent his whole life in the banking system. I this is no exaggeration, I say here. And to what, he'd just retired, like. And he said that in the last few months, most of the last year before his retirement, they'd basically put him out to grass, and they'd put him on some research project for the bank. And he said to me, with his mouth almost open, he said, "It doesn't exist, does it? It's just figures on a screen." I thought, this guy's in his 60s. I thought, you've been your whole life in the banking system. I'm sure Chancellors of the Exchequer don't know how it works. Most of them we have in Britain don't, anyway, you know. It's staggering. And yet it is fundamental to our freedom and the way that we're controlled. It's the way the money system's controlled. And for me, money is not a bad thing. It is actually, in its proper form, it's a very positive thing. It's an energy, because that's all it is, that's what everything is, which is a means of exchanging contributions to the world which overcome the limitations of barter. Once you have interest on money, and you allow money itself to make money, then a very positive means of exchange becomes a means of fundamental global control. And I feel that in this period we're going through now, all these things that we talk about and wish to remove are in the process of being removed. I think the earth, as well as individuals, what we call individual people, which we are, yes, to an extent, although we're all part of each other also, are going through a purification. And if you look at anything that needs cleansing, then the muck has got to rise to the surface where it can be seen and cleansed and dealt with. What we do in our own individual lives is that we seek to put off facing things and dealing with things we know aren't going to be very pleasant to deal with. So it shows itself in the line you hear all the time, like, "All right, okay, change the subject, okay? Don't want to talk about it. Just forget it. I don't want to talk about it, okay?" And we push that emotion, that situation within us,